All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, June 23rd of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have an 8-game MLB main slate later this evening, and then we did have 22 tennis matches get underway earlier today. So good luck to all of you playing some DFS. But those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. It is Monday, so we did announce the winners. We will announce winners for the birdie battle in the Discord at a point later today. So be on the lookout for that if you are wondering about winners for the birdie battle. So let's get SaberSim up on the screen here. All right. And we didn't have any questions come in prior to the show, so we will jump straight into a slate demo. Probably going to get into a little bit of a quiet time here. You know, NBA finished yesterday, game 7, very unfortunate injury to Haliburton. Hope he makes a speedy recovery. So NBA officially over, and NHL season ended, you know, within the last week as well. So we're rolling with baseball, we're rolling with tennis, we're rolling with golf, we're rolling with MMA. Still plenty of sports going on, NASCAR, a lot of weekly sports, and then college football kind of around the corner. You know, college football is going to creep up on us pretty fast here within the next 5 to 6 weeks here. So in the meantime, though, we will talk some MLB strategy. We do have the 8-game slate today. Thinking about doing slate demos for like different type of slates. So I'm thinking about, you know, doing a starter demo like on the main slate, and then maybe people are playing the night slate, right? So we do a little 2-gamer demo as well. So I think that's what we're going to roll with today. We got the main slate up here. 500 lineups. We'll do starter to start. I'm going to crank this up to 49,000 min salary, up a little bit. I'm going to use don't use batters against opposing pitchers. Make two small adjustments to projections. And then we're going to kick off this build. So that's really all I'm doing up front. Trusting SaberSim, trusting the projections, ownership, all that good stuff. Not doing too much there. Correlation slider will handle stacking, right? We'll check out our type of stack combinations and stuff that we're getting here, but generally correlation handles that pretty well. No need to set like any rules or filters or things like that. So let's see what these 500 lineups look like at the end of this. All right. We don't need the contest sim, so we will get rid of that. We're going to roll with Saber score. Biggest thing, right? Choose the right Saber score. SaberSim will default to large or small slate appropriately for you. And then it's just up to you to come in and choose the right contest size. So, you know, maybe you're playing the quarter jukebox, right? Very common contest. Okay, well, we come in here. You know, maybe we sort by fee. We go and look. Quarter jukebox has 11,890, right? Okay, so that 10K to 50K range is actually perfect, right? Same holds true for like the $1 20 max 14K entries. This is actually exactly why we recommend using unique rank and Saber score, because both of these contests fall within this 10K to 50K range. So if you use rank fill, you're going to get the exact same 20 lineups in both contests, right? The only time you would start to get different is, you know, maybe you're playing some dime times, right? Okay, well, these are under 10K. These are like 3,500 entries. So they're going to be in the Saber score 1K to 10K bucket, where the sorting has different weights. You're going to get different lineups, right? But when those contests fall in the same bucket, that's just one more reason to for sure, you know, use unique rank over rank fill. So just wanted to point that out, something I saw right there. So anyways, getting back here, we're using Saber score. Now, if you're playing more than one contest, right, I would recommend using autofill, and I'll show what this will look like. And let's get that out of there. Let's just go like that for now. Okay. So I'm getting the autofill up here, right? And let's just play this. Hold on. I got to go a little bit further in the video. We're going to get to about here. Let this render. Okay. So when you're in autofill, right? And you are using SaberScore, right? You still have all these contests. One thing you could do is you could right click on these up here at the top, and then you can add the number of entries for the contest you're playing, right? So when we were, when instead of having to like go to the contest tab and go and check every time, you can just add it and it's like easily viewable. So you're not having to like go back and forth. So that's just one note there. And then the other thing would be to go into the rank by column, right? Which you guys see right here. And then change these based on that entries. So in my opinion, best practice, right? Using starter, playing multiple contests. You still want to use autofill because you still want to be contest specific. But instead of being contest specific to ROI, we're just being contest specific to SaberScore. And then you go in, you set up the entrance column for just easy. That way it's easily viewable. And then you go and you make sure all your Saber scores are set appropriately. And that's going to be the best way to be contest specific on the starter plan. So we'll still talk about, you know, like lineup strategy and stuff and risk management and all that. But I did want to talk a little bit more about autofill on starter and how best to use it. So that's why I just pulled up this demo real quick. So we could do that. So anyways, let's get back to where we were. Okay. So anyways, you know, another thing, right, is that you should still use MinUniques kind of across all your contests. So something I'll talk about is like, hey, we want to figure out what number of MinUniques we want to use in direct fill and then carry that over to autofill, right? We talk about that all the time for like scaling your 150 max and then your 20 max and then your 30 max and then like, you know, using like 5 uniques for the 150, 6 uniques for the 20, 3 uniques for the set, for the 7 uniques for the 3 max, right? And going that way, you still want to do the same exact thing here, right? So you're still going to go to autofill and you're still going to start here. So we would start in autofill. We would make sure that our Saber score is chosen appropriately. And then we would start to make our adjustments, right? So we're going to stick with the average projection aggregate metric. We're going to sort by exposure. We're going to scroll down to the last lineup in our set here. And then we're going to start cranking up the uniques, right? So, okay, so we got a 95.2 projection. We do have our leverage column, right? Don't forget to bring over that leverage. It's just going to be good to understand who you're over on, who you're under on. That way we can just make better decisions. So we're doing all that. It's great stuff. We see that we have high leverages. I like to look at the batters and pitchers separately, right? Just to see where our biggest kind of stands are and if we're having too much leverage on like one position versus another. So a lot of Milwaukee here, which is okay. We do want to try and flatten this out. So I'm going to start cranking up the uniques. I'm going to jump to 4, see what happens, right? Okay, so our projection goes from 95.2 down to 94.4. Okay, so still less than a point here. Not that bad. Notice we don't have any leverage over 30% now, right? So we lost a 40% leverage. We lost some 30% leverages. That's okay, right? We're trying to smooth this out a little bit. We're still only at lineup 29 here, which is great. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit higher. I'm going to go 6. So again, we started at 95.2. We're still at 94. About 0.5, so about 0.7 down. And then highest exposed batter is like 35%. And our highest leverage is 24, right? So still coming down. But we're still not that far into our pool. And we still haven't sacrificed that much projection. So I think it's like totally okay to keep going here, right? We're at lineup 76. We're at 94.2. It's about 1 full point. And, you know, even if we go, right, we go back to 1 real quick. We started with 71 players in our player pool in our 20 lineups at 7 here. We're all the way up to 97. So we've introduced 26 new players into our pool. This is what smooths out your results, right? This is what stops you from having super negative high ROI days, right? giving yourself more opportunities, playing good lineups with other players, right? And your lineups aren't so correlated. They aren't all going to be bunched together in your standings. You're going to be a lot more spread out here. And we haven't had to sacrifice that much projection to do so, right? Which is like a good metric to analyze here, especially on starter, as well as how far down in our pool we're going. We're only about 15% of the way into our pool at lineup 76. So you got to figure out like what's a good stopping point for you. For me, you know, this really doesn't look that bad where I'm at right now. I could go further, but I might go and look at like some other positions. So I'm going to look at like the pitchers a little bit. Okay. You know, some double digit leverage, but nothing over like 20% seems fine. Go to my stacks. Highest is like a 5-3, 4-3s, 3-2-2s. So we're still getting well correlated lineups. Go to team stacks. Getting, I like to sort by projected runs, just kind of see how SaberSim's shaking out here. And mostly kind of what I'm looking for is like making sure we're not taking too big of stands on low projected run teams and making sure that, you know, we're getting to some of these better projected teams. And we are, right? Two lineups, four lineups, two lineups, three lineups, two lineups, three lineups for like the top, you know, six projected teams, right? We are taking kind of a big stand here on the Cubs in Seattle, kind of in the middle. This might be more like leverage ownership related where like, okay, yeah, we're getting to some of like the five run total teams, but we're going to take a shot on like some of this 4.8, 4.7 teams. Maybe they're being a little bit overlooked. Not 100% sure, but feels like that's kind of the angle the builder's coming from here. So anyways, we go back to our players, right? Sort by exposure again. You got to figure out where's a good stopping point for you. For me, you know, this feels okay, right? One player, 35%, a very good player at that. And then everybody else, 25% or lower. And there's only like three players at 25, three players at 20%. And then it looks like we have a really large group of players in the 15% category, right? So a lot of players in like three lineups, which doesn't feel like that much. So for me personally, I'd be happy stopping here. You could, you know, go further. You could go backwards if you want. You got to kind of figure it out. That's all the lineup personalization and, you know, really just getting a feel for how risky you want your set of lineups to be. All right. Darian asked a question. How do I set a rule that allows batters against a pitcher without making it a necessity? For example, for the two game slate, I would, I mean, maybe force the Sims to give me some lineups with opposing hitters without forcing it. So you can just leave the rule off, right? And we're actually going to jump over to a two-game slate right now, so that's perfect timing for this question. So we'll go over to the two-game night slate. So we did a starter demo on the main slate, and then we will jump into a ultimate demo on the two-gamer here. So this works well. Using the beta or not is like fine. We usually always do the show here, you know, on like the regular app, because that's what like everybody has access to, but the rules and stuff work the same, so it's like totally fine. All right, so tonight's two gamer, right? We would go, so if this rule is off, then it allows it. It allows a batter to be in a lineup against an opposing pitcher, right? If you set a rule, you can control this, so it depends how much control you want, right? So like for instance, something I've experimented with on like small slates like this before is like, hey, if I'm using a pitcher from a team, so if at least one group by team and I select pitcher, then use no more than X on the opposing team. So what you're saying here is like, hey, I'm okay using, you know, I don't know who's pitching today. Okay, I'm okay using a player from the Angels and Walker Buehler, who's pitching against them in the same lineup, but I'm not okay using two Angels against Walker Buehler, right? Something like this is like, you're basically saying I allow it, but I want to control how many players against them, right? It can make sense. You know, there's plenty of opportunity for like, maybe Walker Buehler, you know, pitches really good, but maybe Mike Trout hits a home run, right? You can do stuff like that where you're like, hey, you know, let's, you know, use no more than two. Maybe I'm hoping that Walker Buehler throws like five or six good innings and then the Angels score in like the seventh, eighth, or ninth, right? And, you know, maybe one or two players get there. So a rule like this would be very, very helpful. just to make sure it doesn't get like too crazy. But as long as this is off, it will allow that to happen naturally. And, you know, I say naturally, and what I'm meaning is like at the rate that it comes up in the Sims. So I think that could be a good thing to leave off on a 2-game slate. Could definitely help make you a little bit more unique and maybe help you win some contests. So we'll build this one with this off. We're going to do an ultimate demo right now. So you're going to set this to 5,000. Going to leave minimax salary because the slate's so small. Going to change make my two adjustments, two projections, no filters or rules. We're just going to roll with the default sliders here. And then we are going to kick this off. So the only other thing to do really would be to go to the contest tab, upload your entry file. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave this and use the default contest sim that is in the contest tab. So we'll just use that for this demo. And then we'll build as if we're building 115 lineups. All right. So this is running. And almost done. It's probably enough lineups. Probably going to crawl to the end here. So we're going to roll with like 4,000-ish lineups. I think it's totally fine. And lineups are just loading. All right, cool. So contest sim kicks off here. When this finishes, should auto change ROI. Okay, ROI check. I like to set up an ROI filter, right? So show lineups with ROI greater than zero. This kind of goes, this is a good time to talk about this one. Saw this one come in. Hacksaw said, hey, Andrew, I was wondering if you use a min projected score before building your lineups. No, I don't. The only thing I've mostly experimented with, which I probably wouldn't use, okay, just on a 2-game slate, just because, you know, I think it's not the right time to do it. But on the larger slates, you know, 8 games like today, 10 games, 12 games, all those, I do think it's okay to filter out some low projected lineups. You're basically guarding yourself kind of against like, you know, low projected lineups might be okay if ownership comes in exactly how you expect it to. But if ownership fluctuates a little bit, then some of those low projected lineups might not be as good. So their ROI is like a little bit fragile. So I've experimented with like trashing like the bottom 10% of like projected lineups just to kind of guard myself against those type of situations, right? So nothing pre-build, nothing with rules or anything like that, but just a small post-build filter for risk purposes. I wouldn't use it on a small slate like this, mostly because all the players that are either pitching or in the lineups are gonna have, I'm positive even like Washington here is gonna have plenty of like double-digit ownership. Let me just sort by order. Yeah, I mean, a lot of their players have high ownership. Maybe a couple of these guys don't, but I don't think it's as important to, you know, you could be filtering out like really good lineups on a 2-game slate, especially in a sport like MLB where average projection matters less than like in a sport like NBA or something like that. So those are my thoughts there. I think projection filter is probably better for MLB, but keeping it rolling, right? Said we're going to build 150 lineups here. Okay, great. We go in, we sort by exposure. I have my ROI greater than zero filter on, which moved about 800 lineups into the trash, which seems fine. So in a pretty good spot here, I would try and get some diversification if you can. I'm going to set up an average ROI aggregate metric. And, you know, again, just watching how my metrics change, you will probably see ROI creep. I mean, projection creep up while ROI goes down a little bit. It's kind of normal on small slates. ROIs might be high. I bet you it's probably related to like ownership not running at the moment. But I'm okay, you know, still coming in here, adjusting unique adjusting menu uniques, sacrificing some ROI to get flattened out a little bit here. And then what do we see, right? Okay, we come in. I would probably sort by leverage just to get like a glance here and just see like where some of our biggest spots are. You might want to use pool exposure a little bit too, just like to get a sense of like, hey, you know, how, you know, if pool exposure is like a quote unquote, like optimal estimate, you know, how heavily exposed am I to these players? So like, I think at this time in the day, this ownership isn't perfect. So like Adele's like 4%. Well, you know, his optimal pool percentage here is like 18%. We have him at like 38%. So that's about 2x, right? So like, all this seems okay. He's like the only one with like a really high leverage. We go over to pitchers, getting a lot of Mitch Parker and a lot of Kachanowicz here. I wonder if we could find... a situation like we talked about earlier where we find like the okay, here's one, right? We have a lineup with Kachanowicz pitching. This is our 13th lineup here. And then we have Jarren Duran as a one-off in the outfield. So they will come up if you leave the rule off. But you know, obviously we kind of had to like look for it a little bit. So it won't always be like super prominent. It might not be the first thing you see. But that's good, right? We want those things to come up kind of on more like occasionally, right? The players effectively have to outperform their negative correlation, right? So like we come in here, Duran has a negative 0.3 correlation to Kachanowicz. And not only that, but this correlation slider is turned up to 6, right? Which is like a high setting. So not only does he have a negative correlation already, but we're amplifying the negative correlation. So Duran has to do so good that he has to overcome the correlation plus the boost to the negative correlation, right? So in my case, I'm like, hey, you know, it's probably okay. Like, what if he gets a single, steals 2 bases, and he never scores, right? Well, he just got 13 fantasy points, and Kachanowicz didn't even give up a run, right? That, like, might be, you know, one of the best case scenarios in that situation. So, you know, there's opportunities for all of those things to work out together, but, you know, just take them as they come. Aside from that, I come in here, right, playing every team at, you know, 35% plus makes sense. Still playing well-correlated lineups, 5-3s, 5-2s, 4-4s, 4-3s. We've managed our risk a little bit here, especially with our batters in particular. But yeah, I mean, no batter more than 38%, but then it goes 38 to 27. So even on a 2-game slate, you know, still getting super spread out here. I like this a lot. I think it's pretty good. If you wanted to, you could probably add in some min exposures to like some of the other pitchers. I don't know everybody who's pitching or like what the slate fully looks like, but that's something to consider as well. But if I were building for this 2-game slate on Ultimate, this is exactly how I'd be approaching it. So let me pop my head in Office Hours channel and Discord. Looks like we're caught up there. Knocked out these questions. So we talked starter for the MLB main slate. We talked ultimate for the night 2-game slate. Think we're about set here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.